Bible, friends, is a book that, I recommend that you make a serious attempt of reading it, because, it's the only source available to you to bring you to a knowledge of the truth and to a right relationship with the living God, the one whom, of course, the Bible says, well, if he's not your Savior, your Redeemer, he will be your judge. If the things that are written in the Bible concerning you are true, then don't you think, people, that you ought to at least pay heed, you know, look into, read for yourself, and get first-hand information as to what it is that God would say to you, require of you. Maybe perhaps you are numbered amongst that great number of people in our nation today who have never read the Bible, who have never even owned a copy of the Bible. Well, here is an opportunity for you to receive freely a copy of an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel, which will give you a taste, a summary of what the entire Bible is all about. It's about God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's about the righteousness of God. And it's about how a person such as yourself can be made right, that is, seen to be right in the eyes of God. For it's a certain fact, of course, that none of us are right with God. That's why God has provided you with the Bible. That's why God, of course, brings this indictment against the entirety of the human race, that there is no man that has not sinned, no person, that is, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As I say, perhaps, maybe, it is that you've never read the Bible, and maybe perhaps not read it today. Maybe perhaps if you got into this habit of reading the Bible day by day, starting your day by reading the Bible, maybe perhaps your days, your life, would pan out a little bit differently. Instead of beginning the day with the negative vibes of the daily news sending you into a tailspin of depression before your day even begins, the positive, powerful Word of God would perhaps transform your mind, your heart, and your life. But certainly, if nothing else, would bring you to a knowledge of, a realization of who God is and what it is, of course, that he requires of you. The Bible, it says that by the law, that's God's commandments, law of God, of course, written in the Old Testament and summarized in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, and of course, and so it goes on. But that law of God, maybe perhaps you're one of these people who would claim to be good, claim to be righteous, that God couldn't possibly have anything against you. Well, let me recommend that you read those Ten Commandments seriously and ask yourself the question, have I kept those commandments? every single day of my life, of my existence, outwardly and inwardly, in my heart that is. And of course, well, you come to the very first commandment and you'll find, I think, you haven't even kept that one. That makes you a sinner. That makes you a lawbreaker. You see, God gave those commandments in order that people might know, have a knowledge of what sin is. Because, well, for instance, today you live in a generation where there is gross ignorance concerning the things of God. The ABCs of the gospel are not known amongst you, let alone the deep mysteries of God. Ignorance abounds, and where ignorance abounds, men and women perish in their sin. God gave the law those commandments, not that a person could be justified righteous before God by keeping those commandments, because that's an impossibility. Sin, you see, goes deeper, much, much deeper than just simply you're doing and thinking wrongly. That you do, and abundantly so, every day and every hour of every day. No, that's not the matter. The knowledge of sin comes through that law that those commandments were given to us to teach us what manner and what kind of sinners it is that we are and what sin is. Sin is not loving God, the first commandment, committing adultery, sex outside of marriage, the destruction of holy matrimony, and of course, well, all the fornication, sodomy, and everything else that would be included in that. Thou shalt not kill. The abortion that takes place in your country, the destruction of unborn infants in their mother's womb, sacrificed on the altar of your sexual pleasure. And then, of course, well, at the other end of the extreme, you've got the euthanizing of the elderly and terminally ill. You see, people, all this and more is what God calls sin. And it's that reason, that is the reason why God gave you those commandments, so that you could read them and so that you could know what sin is. Now, for those of you who would protest and say, well, I never sinned, I never done anything wrong, and of course that would be 99.9% of you, I guess, you're righteous and God's got nothing against you. Well, I challenge you, read those commandments, come back and tell me you've kept all of them every day of your life, of your existence. I think not. No? Well, let me challenge you with one or two questions. Have you ever told a lie? What do you call somebody who tells lies? You call them a liar. Have you ever, well, Jesus says the sin against adultery, he says that if a man, and that includes a woman, lusts after another person, other that is than his wife's spouse, then you have already committed adultery in your heart. So have you ever lusted for somebody else that you shouldn't have? So what does that make you? That makes you an adulterer. Liars, adulterers, and of course, well, so you could go on through those Ten Commandments. We've broken every single one of them, every single day of your existence since the day that you were born. But why do you do such things? Why do you break God's laws? Why do you live in such a way? Well, the Bible tells you that too. You see, sin is more than what you do, think, and say. It's your very nature. But the Bible makes it clear that we are born in sin, conceived in sin. We are naturally sinners, and so we naturally sin. And so the only way that you're ever going to stop doing wrong and doing right is if your nature is changed. That is, if God gives you a new nature. That brings us to what Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, says. He says, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, understand it, that is, let alone enter into it. So, you see, people are not made righteous by doing good works, keeping God's law, or even trying to. Not for a moment suggesting, of course, that you would even want to, desire to. But by the knowledge of the law, understanding, knowing and understanding those commandments that God has given to you, which are binding upon the whole of humanity. No good you saying, I'm not religious, because that would be a lie too, because everybody is religious. You say, no, I'm not. I believe in evolution. I don't believe that there is a God. That's what you believe. That's your religion. You see, people, the most popular religion in your country today is godless evolution. But it's religious dogma. It's only what you believe. You can't prove it. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, says God in the Bible, Psalm 14, verse 1. You see, people, it's only what you believe. It's what you choose to believe. It's what you want to believe. It's just wishful thinking. You don't want there to be a God, and you don't want to find God for the same reason a thief and a murderer doesn't want to find a policeman. You just don't want there to be a God, so you believe the lie. You exchange the truth for a lie. But it's just your religion, just what you believe, that there is no God. You can't prove it any more than Professor Dawkins, your great high priest of your religion, as he espouses. So you see, people, religion, well, we're all of us, every single one of us. There's no such thing as a person who is not religious. Question is, what is your religion? Is it the truth? Will it save you from the judgment and the wrath of God to come? I think not. For the most of you, at least, anyway. So, you see, people, by the knowledge of the law, well, comes the knowledge of sin. That's what the law was given for. To teach you what manner, what kind of sinful people you are, how you have sinned, and of course, well, to call you with that conviction, to call you to repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. How does a person then get right with God? Well, the Bible also answers that question. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You see, the entirety of the Bible, from beginning to end, points to one person and one person alone, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These Old Testament prophets and the law pointed to Jesus, the righteousness of God, revealed from heaven by faith in the Son of God and Jesus Christ. That is how a person is made right with God. He is the righteousness of God. The one who lived a perfect life, who never broke God's law, those commandments, not in any shape or form, any one of them, a perfect life, and therefore qualified to go to the cross and die for ungodly sinners such as you and I. ungodliness. What is ungodliness? It is breaking those commandments of God and living in that fashion, in that way, not keeping God's law and not even desiring to keep God's law. So, you see, people, that's the state and condition of each and every one of you without faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. Ungodly, so unlike God, so unlike Him in every way, shape, or form. You see, people, that's what sin does, has done to the entire human race. Ungodly us, made us so unlike God. What is God like? The Bible will reveal that to you. He is righteous. He is holy. He is termed as the thrice holy God. In Him there is no darkness. He is light. And people, that's what He requires of every single one of us. Absolute, perfect righteousness. So how on earth could I possibly ever become like that, you say, before God? Well, the Bible tells us that on that last and great day, when God judges the entirety of the human race, He will judge you in righteousness, according to your righteousness. So here's the bottom line. If you're trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in your own good deeds, you're trusting in keeping God's laws, His commandments, trusting in anything and anyone else but Jesus Christ, well then, you're on to a loser. You have no hope. No, you see, people, there's only one righteousness. God's righteousness has been manifested in the gospel through God's Son coming into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him might not perish but have everlasting life. So you see, people, it's all there in the gospel. The good news, that is, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the revealed righteousness of God, who came into the world to die for sinners, to pay the penalty, to pay the price that, well, that the sinner should have paid. You see, Jesus was dying on the cross for the ungodly, not for things that He had done wrong, not for sins that He had committed, but for the sins of the world, the Bible tells us. But all those who will believe and trust in Him, so you see, people, in receiving Jesus Christ, you receive the righteousness of God. And people, it's that righteousness, not your own, because all your righteousness, as God says, the very best of your deeds, are all like filthy rags in His sight. So you see, people, unless you're found that day of judgment trusting in God's righteousness, that is in God's Son. So how does a person achieve this righteousness? Well, not by working for it, not by being religious for it, but simply by receiving it. To as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, that is, to those who believed on His name, to them He gave the power, the authority, that is, to become children of God. How a person is brought into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, into the righteousness of God, by receiving the gift of God, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's gift, you see. It's all of grace, you see. It's what you don't deserve, you see. And of course, well, grace, that means that you cannot work for it. You cannot be good for it, religious for it, or anything else for it. The moment you say that you must do something, it's no longer grace. It's no longer the gift of God. You've turned it into works. And the Bible says quite clearly that no flesh shall ever be justified before God by works. Only by the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God. So how do I connect with the grace of God? By faith and faith alone, the Bible says, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You go through the Gospels for yourself, read the Bible, and get first-hand knowledge and information, and you'll see every person there in the Gospels who comes to Jesus with whatever problem, the answer's the same, always the same. Only believe, trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to the person who's religious. No, the person who believes. Faith, you see, and faith alone. The just shall live by faith, God declares in the Gospel. Not ashamed of the Gospel, says one author in the Bible. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. For everybody? No. For everybody who's religious? No. For everybody who does good works? No. For everyone that believeth. You see, people, you connect with the grace, the gift of God, through faith, believing in the Son of God. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. For there is no other Savior. You can subscribe if you want to any of your world's religions. Allah, Muhammad, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism. You can take your pick. Man-made religions, the works of man, of no avail, no righteousness there at all. Only in Jesus Christ.
Why don't you go wash your mouth out, sir?
So you see, people, the Gospel is the power, God's power, that is, for salvation. Thank you, sir. God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. Faith it is that connects with the power of God, with the righteousness of God, with the grace of God. But it's not just faith in anything. You can believe anything you want. You can believe in Santa Claus. You can believe in the man in the moon. You can believe in aliens. And many, of course, of you doubtless do. No, people, believing in what God has revealed, His righteousness manifested in the Gospel, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. He Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Another place in the Bible it says, there is just none other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person must be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. You see, people, it matters not where you come from. It matters not what your color, your creed is, what your race is. People, Jesus Christ is the only Savior the world over. There is no other. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. But that's why, you see, I point you, ever and always point you to the Bible, because the Bible alone is the testimony, is the record of God. It's the means by which God speaks today. It's when you read the Bible, it is as if God were speaking to you out of heaven himself. He speaks only through the Bible, through his word, his testimony, his record concerning his son and his righteous requirements of you. So you see, people, it's no good going to the Pope, it's no good going to the priest, it's no good going to the mosque, it's no good going to the synagogue. Outside of the Bible, people, there is no truth. There is very little cause in you going to, I don't say all of them, but the majority of your churches, even in your city. Because even those churches do not proclaim the truth of the gospel as they should. The Bible, people, and the Bible alone is the word of God. And a church that does not declare the Bible in its fullness is not a church. No, people, first-hand knowledge, the Bible alone will give you the needed information, the knowledge that you need to be saved. So, people, I commend to you again the reading of God's Word, the Bible. There you will see what manner of a sinful person you are. There you will see the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, that is. And there it will be affirmed to you the things of which I speak to you week by week, that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that a person, a man or woman, can be made right, righteous, that is, before God. And enabled, that is, on that great day of judgment, to stand before God with confidence, without fear, without any condemnation. But then, of course, the Bible is a closed book to those people who do not have the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. Because unless a person be born again, well, you know, the book is just closed. Maybe perhaps in times past, you've picked up the Bible and you've tried to read it, but not been able to make any headway. I can't understand this. It's like a foreign language to me. No understanding, no spiritual understanding of what God is saying in his word. Oh, you see, that points to the blindness, that points to the darkness, that points to the state and condition of the human heart, and to the truth of the statement of Jesus, that unless you're born again, unless God removes the veil, opens the eyes of your understanding, well, you'll remain in your darkness, blindness, in your sin, and of course, well, in your unrighteousness and ungodliness too. So you see, people, it's not down to you at the end of the day. It's as to whether God will make you a Christian or not. Don't you be thinking for one moment, foolishly, that you would be doing God some kind of a favor were you to become a Christian. It is no more in your power to become a Christian than it is for you to remove yourself from your sinful nature, life, and existence. No, people, it takes a miracle from God. God must supernaturally, miraculously work in your heart to give you an understanding of these things.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
That's for me?
Yeah.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much, girl. Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day, eh? Thank you. So you see, people, it's out of God at the end of the day.
as to, you know, how he will deal with you. But you see, the Bible makes it clear that through the proclamation of the gospel, well, I mean, how could you ever know? I mean, you who never darkened the door of a church, who never opened the pages of a Bible, how could you possibly ever know what to believe, what God requires of you, what God is like? So you see, God has commanded the preaching of the gospel in all the world, not just in churches, but in the marketplaces of towns and cities throughout the country and throughout the world. Why we come out, why I tell you the truth week by week, because you would just never know what to believe, what God requires of you, did I not come to you. Maybe perhaps God will work on your heart as I preach the gospel to you. And maybe some of you who are angry with me today and who vilify me week after week, maybe the day will come when you will be thankful that you ever heard the voice of a preacher. Maybe perhaps as your nation sinks deeper and deeper into the morass of sin, it ought to be obvious to you that God is not well pleased with you as a nation. The devastation of some of your towns and cities in the southern region, that in itself ought to tell you that God's wrath is being revealed amongst you and against you. Why? Well, because of the way that you take, because of your disgusting laws, because of your uncleanness, because of the filth and the apostasy of your churches even in the land. Oh yes, yes, God is still present in your nation, but he's present in wrath, in anger, in holy displeasure. And so therefore I call upon you. The very first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his righteousness is nigh. And people, the only way that a person can enter into that kingdom of God's righteousness is by repenting of their sin, turning seriously from their wickedness and unbelief, turning from it with sorrow, with grief in their heart that they've broken God's law, offended his love, repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That, you see, is God's singular, primary command to you this afternoon. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That, in a nutshell, is how a person is made right, righteous, that is, before a holy and sin-hating God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I said to you before, and I say it to you again, I challenge you not to take my word for these things, but take God's word. Read for yourself and see that these things are so. It is his word after all, not mine. I'm only the messenger. Don't get angry with me. Whosoever shall call, he says, on the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty. The wages of sin are still death. Sin, when it's finished, when it comes to its full-blown condition, when it runs full term, brings forth death, always has done and always will do. Physical death, eternal death, everlasting death, separation from God in the damnation of hell. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from that penalty. Saved from the power of sin. You know, that power that holds you in its grip like a vice and won't let go. The sinful habits that you try to shake loose from, but for the life and death of you, you can't get rid of them. Drugs, immorality, gossiping, hatred, it matters not what the addiction is. We've all got them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from the power, the grip of sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from the presence of sin. I'm sure that there are some of you, in your quieter moments, you must think to yourself, surely there must be something better than this. This cesspit of a world, of a nation, of a city that I live in. Surely there must be something better. There is. It's called the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, says Jesus. That's your primary business, I suggest to you this afternoon. You might have an employment, a medical need. You might have many needs, but you've got a greater need than all these things. You've got a need for God's righteousness, that is to be right with God. Before that day comes when He takes you out of this world, and whether you be young or old, believe me, God has a multitude of ways by which He can take the fittest of you and the youngest of you out of this world in a nanosecond. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Too late then to get right with God. Now is the accepted time, the day of God's favor, His grace, that is. And His grace is even revealed to you in causing the gospel, the good news about Jesus, to be declared amongst you here this afternoon. So I encourage you, I implore you, I beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin. Believe the gospel, and thou shalt be saved. You want to check these things out? Take a copy of God's Word home with you, the Gospel of Mark, and, well, lay aside of it the things I've spoken to you. What you must do in order to be righteous in God's sight, to be right before God, to be saved from a certain, a sure, and known danger. The sin of your heart, your state, your condition without Jesus Christ. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you free of charge without cost or obligation to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command and His promise is, thou shalt be saved. Like God's Word, you come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy on your soul. Hello, how you doing? Oh, yeah.
Long time.
Sorry?
Long